Good morning, church. How are y'all doing today? Dayton and team, thank you for singing and reminding us. Yes, give a hand. Of the goodness of God and of his mercies, of the life that he gives us in Christ, that each day and each moment is a gift of God. It is the present moment, and it is a present. And I am glad to be with you guys today. My name is David. I'm one of the pastors here at New Hope Church and want to welcome you as we continue to worship and open up God's Word this morning. I want to say thank you to a number of you who have been praying for me and my family on the recent announcement of my brother William, who passed away suddenly on early Thursday morning, Wednesday night, at the age of 53. He had not shown up at work, and they sent and did a wellness check on him and had found him dead. And so that was a shock. And so for those of you who are thinking, as the Bible says, I'll go to this town and that town, and I'll do business, and I'll conduct then and that, James says, your life is but a mist and a vapor. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will do this, I will do that. And if you don't know him today, let me encourage you to hear me clear that now, at this very moment, is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. That was my last immediate family member who passed away. My brother, my mom and my father and my sister have all gone home to be with the Lord. In 2017, after my mom passed away, my brother stopped talking to me, and I've pursued a relationship with him for my life, and you know, and have desired and wanted the best for him. It's a strange thing to be the sole remaining member of your family and to now have come to the conclusion of 35 years of prayer that my brother would give his life to Christ and be transformed by the gospel. And all the things that you might think matter in life, what Jesus says and what that cross and that empty tomb has done, that matters most. As a pastor, I've not had people run up to me on the death of a loved one and said, can I get the PIN number to their Vanguard account? I've not had them say, hey, pastor, you know, did you really know if they like pastel or if they really like bright colors? You know, did they ever kind of guess who in Dallas back in the 80s, long time ago, who killed JR? No one asked that question. People are more concerned of where does a person stand with Christ. And we've been in this series called Everyday Catalysts out of the book of Acts, because we're inclined to think that it's always these major people and forces and factors that make the impact in people's life. And we've been in this series to understand that it's everyday catalysts, people sitting in this room. When you read Acts chapter 1, you have to realize there are more people in this sanctuary than there was in that room of disciples, and they changed the world. I'm standing here this morning because my locker mate, Lance Porter, came and invited me to an event after a failed suicide attempt. And, you know, there's an interesting dynamic sometimes of being the younger brother to an older brother. But I remember my older brother, he's my only brother, but he was really shocked by that. And he talked to me next day, and he's like, wow, dude, I know I've given you a hard time, but it was my locker mate. Young people, that was a sophomore in high school. That's why I'm here. If you're struggling with that, come talk to someone. We have a care ministry. come talk to me. But we're talking about everyday catalysts, and this morning we're going to look at the life of Apollos. I'm going to ask that you grab your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 18, verses 24 through 28. You can turn in your Bibles and or with your phone. And as you're turning there, I want to ask the question, who is the person that's been one of the greatest or biggest catalysts in your life? A person or persons? And what were the areas that they helped you to grow and gain a better understanding? If you're at Acts 18, say amen. All right. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul makes three missionary journeys. The first one ends in Acts chapter 14, where he comes and he gives a report to Antioch about the work of God in changing and transforming not just the Jews, but also most of us that make up this room, the we's in this room, Gentiles, Norwegians, Swedish, chocolate Norwegians, Germans, French Canadians, we, all that good stuff. But all of us would have been classified as Gentiles. The second journey begins in Acts 16, verses 1 through 5 with Paul and Silas, ending in Acts 18, 23, the verse before our section today. And the third journey begins in Acts 18, 23 and ends in Acts 21. But left in Ephesus by Paul, there's this couple in the first four verses of chapter 18 named Priscilla and Aquila. He leaves them in Ephesus as he's on his way to conclude his second missionary journey. And while they're there, they meet this gifted speaker named Apollos, who had a great passion for Christ, but had a limited understanding of the gospel. And they sought to equip him with a more accurate message and sent him on to Achaia, where he was used powerfully from God. So look with me at verse 24 of Acts 18, we're going to read. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogues, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples to welcome him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed. For he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scripture that the Christ was Jesus. This morning we're going to look at Apollos. We're going to look at his credentials, his characteristics, and also his commendation, and end with a few takeaways. Won't you pray with me? Father God, yes, we will sing when our hearts are joyed, when our hearts are heavy. And for me in my life, one of the sweetest descriptions in scripture other than the name of Jesus has been this beautiful thing called the family of God. And I thank you for my church family. I thank you for my brothers and sisters this morning. And I pray that those who are here and listening to my voice, if they do not know Jesus, have not trusted him, that they would take this clarion warning, this moment of mercy, this crying out of God for grace in their life to say, yes, Lord, have your way. So lead us now in your word and encourage us through Apollos as an everyday catalyst that we in turn would go out and do the same. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's talk about his credential. Look at verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. This is our introduction. Apollos, though a Jew born in Egypt, he doesn't have a Jewish name. He has a Roman name, and it's a name that's named after a Roman god named Apollonius. He finds himself growing up in Egypt, Alexander. named after Alexander the Great, who conquered it. And this would become the capital of the region from BC 330 going forth. Now, him being born in this city, it's located on the Nile Delta in Egypt. It was the second largest city in the Roman Empire. It was famous for its lighthouse on the narrow island of Pharos and one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But also looking at verse 24, it says that he was an eloquent man. The word there can either mean eloquent or educated, skilled in speech or skilled in knowledge. It has in mind that Apollos was a man of reasons and ideas, and that he basically had had an excellent general education. And being that part of the world, they were rhetorically sound. You know, they could spit lyrics, they could wax poetically, they could philosophize, and that's what Apollos grew up in. Now, when we're talking about being everyday catalysts, you might be saying, wait a minute, PDM, does this mean like I need to just be so astute in my talking in order to be an everyday catalyst? No. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, 1, he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." That was Paul's word. Someone who was raised in the Ivy League school of Gamaliel and knew all those things. But you have to also remember, Jesus, the living God of the universe, omniscient, chose uneducated fishermen to be his disciples. So no, you don't have to be eloquent. This is just part of this man's testimony, because he was from Alexandria, and being part of Alexandria was being educated. It was a city famous for its museums and a library that had over 700,000 volumes. Now, for some people, they're like, oh, yeah. And for some of those who are bibliophile that likes books, they're like, oh my goodness, so many books, no television, internet, nothing to bug you? But in this place, this would also be where the Old Testament Greek translation known as the Septuagint was translated 200 years before the time of Christ. And a great historian at that time named Philo was a contemporary of Jesus's. So this is part of Alexandria. This is part of Apollos' background. It goes on in verse 24 to say that he was powerful in the word. Some versions you say will see mighty in scripture. The word there is dunamatos, which we get dynamite from. But it's saying, you know, that Apollos was the least acquainted with the teachings of Jesus and the scripture. That's going to come into play in a little bit. So those are his credentials. Let's look at some of his characteristics. Look at verse 25. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. One of the things that we're going to find out about Apollos in this passage is that Apollos was an everyday catalyst in what he knew. How about you? So he'd been instructed in the way of the Lord. He was a faithful disciple. The word here, when it talks about being instructed, is the word that we get catechism from. This systematic, organized way of learning. Apollos, he committed himself to learning, to being instructed by other people, to understanding who this Christ was. And this was something that was done by oral tradition. He wasn't just a hearer of the word, he was also a doer of the word. Not only that, is that we see in verse 25b that he was passionate for the Lord. It says, and being fervent in spirit, or being fervent in spirit by the Holy Spirit. When that word fervent is used, it has in mind one thing: boiling. Boiling. Like, dude was fervent about this. I had heard something the other day where they were noting that so oftentimes even our decisions to buy and make decisions are more emotional or impactful and influenced than what we realize. that sometimes when you're actually sharing something with somebody, they're wondering in their mind, do you believe what you're talking about? Fellas, if it's like, honey, I love you. But if it's like, baby, I love you. And the women said, amen. He just preached. Okay, but there's a difference in the response. And guys, if you come home and it's like, oh, you. But if you walk in the door and say, hey, start singing like a Staple song, you brought the sunshine in my life. You know, seriously, I mean, like that type of the passion. In sports, we'll talk about people having heart or not having heart. There's this response, and for Apollos, he believed what he was sharing. But I want to be clear about something. It's about being zealous over the right things. Because the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they were zealous about ceremonial hand washing and doing all the right things and crossing the T's and dotting the I's. So you gotta work with anybody. Get all messed up. But Jesus said, you guys were not concerned about mercy and justice and the weightier things of worship and of obedience. So one of the things about this everyday catalyst, he was a faithful disciple. He was passionate for the Lord. Look at verse 25c. He was an accurate teacher. He was right in what he taught. It says he spoke, and the tense there has that he spoke and kept speaking and taught and kept teaching accurately the things concerning Jesus. All the things that Apollos taught, he taught accurately, and he did not reach beyond his knowledge to say things that were inaccurate. 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture is breathed out from God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. The importance of God's word, the importance of getting in God's word, because what we're going to find out right now, though Apollos was from Alexandria, not Minnesota, y'all like, I know, like, Glenwater Days. Anybody been to Glenwater Days in Alexandria? Okay, it's cool. But even though he was from Alexandria, even though he had this rhetorical ability, there was a shortcoming. It says he spoke and taught accurately concerning the things of Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. This passage is saying that he taught with great fervor. He had been taught about Jesus accurately. He only knew the baptism of John, which it says it is possible to be passionate and ill-informed. And that is why when we say here at New Hope that we are a Christ-centered community for all peoples, moving, that's a participle, moving towards Jesus and taking others with us, we're having in mind that discipleship is not just like, hey, Sunday I checked the box, I'm done. No, Jesus wants to know us and to walk with us daily, moment by moment, and to empower us and for us to engage in knowing the living God of the universe and living in community with one another. Amen? So what was this baptism of John? The baptism of John, you'll see in the early Gospels, in the opening, it was a baptism of confession and of repentance. And Ray Stedman notes three great truths that John declared in this baptism. First of all, that before God, forgiveness of sin is possible only on the basis of repentance. John the Baptist comes in the wilderness, he's like, repent for your sins. And then the second thing is that John had people express their repentance in baptism, which in the Old Testament and in the New, it was a symbolic act of cleansing. Listen, John came announcing that as people repented, changed their mind about their evil, called it what God called it, and forsake it, God forgave their sins. Pastor Dave, what you mean? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word confess is homologeto. Basically, in short, don't be impressed by the word. It just means agreeing with God. Agreeing with what God says about sin. That when God is like, no, that's sin, we don't say, it's kind of an idiosyncrasy. It's Tuesday. I have an issue. No, it's like God calling sin, because when God calls sin, he also provides the remedy. That's different from a good type of shame and a toxic type of shame. A toxic shame is like, you messed up, you're pond scum. God says, you messed up, and in Isaiah 1:17, he says, come together, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, he doesn't pull punches. Your sins be as scarlet, they shall be made white as wool. God's like, I'm gonna call it, because if you don't call something, if you don't know if something's true, how do you treat something if you don't have a right diagnosis of what it is? Brothers, sisters, let's just go with mama. None of us is taking us to a doctor, and we're like, we walk in and the doctor's holding a needle, and it's like, we think mom might have cancer. Oh, just throw her on the table here. I'm just going to give her a shot. Well, aren't you going to do like a history panel? No, I'm forward thinking. Let's just kind of go with, well, you're not going to ask her about her history. You're going to do a blood panel. And at a very short period of time, you are leaving. Because you want to know what's the truth of the situation here so that we can accurately diagnose and have this bad boy treated. And likewise, God calls sin, sin. And he says, I provided a remedy. And God says, my remedy is like this. God demonstrates his love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I hope you caught that. Christ died for sinners. So it's not bad about being a sinner, because God demonstrates love towards sinners. Third, with John's baptism, he gives the announcement that there was one coming who would complete the work that he began. John said this, there is one coming after me who is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to carry. I baptize you with water as a symbol of the forgiveness God gives, but he will go further. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. He will put life into you. He will give you power. He will pour into you that which takes life as God gives, and what he can do and what we can't do. And God does that for us. You know, it's kind of wild. Is, Lord, you want to give us gifts, and we're fighting you and say, nope, don't want that. And he's like, I shed my son's blood. It's not flea market. This is the best of the best. So even though Apollos knew all these things, he only had the baptism of John. And he was majoring on that, but he was going in what he knew. Or put it this way, Apollos knew Jesus as a figure in history, but not as a living presence in his life. What about you this morning? Do you merely know Jesus as a historical figure? Or do you know him? Do you know that you know him? And do you know him and his forgiveness in a real way, not just as a moral teacher? Because late Wednesday night, early Thursday morning, when my brother breathed his last, Lord God, I pray that it wasn't just a historical person, or someone that his brother knew. You have to understand that I prayed for my dad for 14 years and 11 months, had an unexpected trip home to preach at Tammy's parents' church, stopped at the VA in Fargo where he was doing tests. Remember us leaving and my dad being just, it was a neat day. And I remember leaving and we walked down the stairs and I told Tammy and her parents to go on, I'd catch up. And I went in the bathroom. And with tears, I'm like, Lord, I'm getting ready to go back to school. My dad's health isn't the best. And the Lord just said to me in my heart, he said, David, go back. Ask your dad if he wants to rededicate his life to me. And my dad had argued with me. My dad grew up, was in faith, through things of hypocrisy and racism. Y'all wonder why we do all peoples. He wasn't seeing the gospel lived out. It was done. Was involved in Freemasonry all the way up to 32D degree out of 33 and then quit. He was like, I'm done. Didn't. And I prayed for my dad for years. And because of the word of one of my mentors who talked about one of the four qualities of leadership, biblically of leaders, and one of them was radical and immediate obedience. I went back upstairs, I walked in, I said, Dad, I said, I know we just prayed. Lord just laid on my heart, do you want to rededicate your life to Christ? He said, yes. I was like, no, you got to understand, my dad would argue with me. He's like, listen, I could say something to destroy your faith. I'm like, Dad, didn't say that. He's like, I'm not interested, Dave. We don't talk about this. I don't want to talk about it. And I'm like, Dad, you know what? I'm going to honor you in the Lord. I will honor you by telling you the truth of the gospel. And I just prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. And I prayed. And when this man looked at me, I was like, and so I walked through the gospel. As much Bible and Jesus and not me. I got down, I asked, do you understand? And he's like, yeah. I'm still shocked. And I'm like, you know, Dad, God's not so much impressed with your words as the attitude of your heart. That's why eloquence, that's great. For Apollos, is it a complete requirement? No. And I said, you know, some people will pray. He said, David, would you pray? And I just repeat after you. So I prayed. Got done, I'm still shocked. I'm like, Dad, are you like doing this for me? Or is this really the desire of your heart? It's the desire of my heart. And I said, based upon the shed blood of Christ, the eternal witness of the Holy Spirit, the empty tomb and the promises of God, you're his child. I kissed and hugged my dad. Went and preached an Easter message. Went home to school. I'm packing up my books. Getting ready with Tammy to head to North Dakota. My phone rings. It's Mr. James Winder, one of my parents' best friends. And he's like, Dad, David, I said, yes. He said, your father passed away of a major heart attack this afternoon. There's nothing that I would ever trade that the last moments I was with my dad that I walked back to Calvary with him. October 2017, my mom is in her hometown, had a family reunion, got sick. So she had to do some rehab. And something had went strange with her medicine, her prednisone. So she wasn't doing well. We actually thought we lost her, flew down to be with her. Side note, public service announcement from Pastor David. If this is you with a family member right now, and you're wondering whether I should buy a ticket and go see that loved one or not, buy it. Actually, I'm so serious. I hadn't talked with my wife about this, but come talk to me and I'll actually help you with some money to do this. Why? Because you will never, ever look back. Believe me, I've sat with a lot of family people before. None of them have ever looked back in the situation and be like, man, I can't believe I spent $1,000. No, they've paid millions of dollars of saying, why didn't I go? That's the thing that's sad for me about my brother. It's the thing I want to say to you about reconciling. Like, I'm at peace with my brother because I pursued my brother and I sought after him. I was like, dude, is there any issues we need to talk about? No, if you hate me, that's fine. If you think I'm the biggest jerk, that's cool. Just tell me. Like, what do we need to talk about? He's like, everything's cool. And it wasn't. I found out about his death through a family friend who found out through another family friend. I'm not in the obituary. Won't be surprised if they say, I mean, like, listen, one of my mentors said, Dave, sometimes we don't realize that when Jesus said that even in faith it will divide families. Like, I love my brother and I pursued him. And I don't know, times where it's like, okay, God, is that how you feel with us? You pursue us. And we don't respond. But if you are in this moment, go. Call that person. My brother's 53. My dad passed at 64. My sister of 39 of adrenal cancer. It's my sister, fine. They gave her 2 months to live. She lived for 6 more years. She's a believer. But back to my mom, October 2017, I flew down, and we got some things straight with her medicine, and I'm sitting by the foot of the bed, and I hear my mom say, David, I'm fine. And I said, oh, I said, like the temperature? Like, she woke up, and I was like, and my mom laughed in this way that when she would laugh, it make you laugh. That Jeffrey, that reminds me of your mom, Sharon Thomas, who this, it's been hard because Sharon's like a mom to my wife, grandmother to my kids, and to me. My wife in tears was saying how much she wants to talk to her very close friend and mom. But my mom said, I'm fine. And I said, the temperature, she started laughing. And I said, oh. I said, you're fine, fine. And she said, yeah, I'm fine, fine. And I said, Mom, if you're fine, then I'm fine. I've sought to honor you and Dad and the Lord all of my life. And I've always just wanted the very best for you. And Jesus is the best. So how could I want anything less than that for you? And a month later, my mom would go home to be with the Lord. It's been hard on our family. It's been hard for my baby girl, Taylor, who love her grandmama. If it was in last breath to say, what do you need? It's Jesus, guys. And it's sharing Jesus. So do you know him this morning? How do we grow like Apollos didn't know? Beautiful verse of Awana, 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightfully handling the word of truth. So what this means is, it means getting in, staying in, saturating yourself in God's word. Y'all looking at me silly. How many of you guys like coffee? Any coffee? Where's my coffee drinkers? Right? Yeah. Like coffee, you need to percolate. See, you can't get good coffee by just throwing some lukewarm water on some grounds. No, the water's got to be hot, hot, hot. And when those hot grounds, that hot water hits those grounds, that's when it starts to extract the good stuff. And you know, this beautiful thing is that when coffee is brewing, there's just this aroma that comes with it. And good coffee, when it's been brewed well, comes with a kick. And guys, listen, we need to percolate. The old folks used to say, show me a person whose Bible is worn out, I'll show you a person whose life isn't. And that was one thing that was hard. As the younger brother, my brother thought I was spoiled. I had to tell him, DJ, no, DJ's my son. I had to tell, I've told my son this too, every good thing in my life is Jesus. All the good things in my kid is Jesus and my wife. All the other jacked up stuff, that's me. I mean, that's the stuff. And I said to my brother, listen, I would want you to be 1,000 times more successful in Jesus. I literally could live being the footnote in your story. Raise your hand if you know Martin Luther, the great reformer, who his brother was. Right. Nobody knows. And I wanted to be that person in my brother's life, if he would know Christ and walk in the fullness of what God had for him. Apollos was bold and courageous. In verse 26, he goes into the temple and powerfully preaches. Now remember, you only have the testimony of John. But Apollos went as an everyday catalyst in what he knew. My question is, will you? Go forth in what you know, because as you go on the way, God will provide people to help you grow. Look at verse 26b. But when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And here's the trait that we see with, the characteristics that we see with Apollos. He was humble and he was teachable. When they heard Apollos speak, Dr. Charles Lake notes that they did 4 things. Number one, they engaged Apollos. They entertained him, in their home. They showed hospitality. They invited him to their life group, their men's study. Second, they discipled him. By explaining to him the way of God more accurately, they took time to fill in the blanks in his questions and theology. What's so nice about these two is that instead of confronting him harshly, they discipled him lovingly. A question that's on your discussion guide for life groups this week is, how do you respond to correction or instruction from others? An everyday catalyst like Apollos, he did it with humbleness, humility, and teachableness. Third, PNA, will just say that, they enlisted the help of other Christians to encourage him. You'll see in verse 27 that other believers encouraged Apollos forward, encouraged him to use his gifts, and finally they endorsed him by writing letters of commendation as he wanted to go to Achaia. If you look back over your life, can you see the people that made an impact upon your life, that God used? If you do, today, write them a note. My sons and I are about to go on a Boundary Waters trip. The one gentleman who leads it, is 81 years old. Last year, still portaging a canoe and carrying a pack. Been doing this for 43 years. A couple of years ago, we sat at his dining room table, and he would take young men up. Quiet guy, loves Jesus. But he was feeling like, I didn't know if I was making any difference. And then he got a letter one day with one of the men, young men now, that was a young boy who took him, and he said, you changed my life. I want to be like you and have a marriage like you and your wife's. And I watched this 80-year-old guy at his table sobbing, because someone sent him a note to say thank you. In my own life, I think of my pastor, Greg Scharf, and his wife, Ruth. I think of Clayton and Emily Lynn Lou Lindgren, who discipled me in college. Clayton recommended me to do pulpit supply in churches, encouraged our church to participate in the Trinity Church Match program where the seminary would match the gifts from a fellow EFCA church. And sometimes it comes full circle. Tammy and I have had two young women who are like daughters to us, who watched our kiddos when they were little babies. I officiated the marriage of one, and right now, even as siblings, it's going to come back to this, as siblings who love Jesus, there were some things they weren't seeing eye to eye on. And we were spending the last 7 months walking through that, and God is doing an incredible thing. You can be that. Is there someone in your life, hear me, is there someone in your life in whom you've noticed a gift that needs acknowledgement or encouraging? And could you let God use you to help that person become all that God wants them to be? So let's briefly talk about commendations and then land this plane. We looked at credentials, characteristics, commendations. He was commended by the church in verse 27. And when he wished to go across Acacia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to him letters to the disciples to welcome him. He wanted to go and share the gospel. And he actually was going to the place where Priscilla and Aquila had left to come with Paul. He was effective in ministry. Look at verse 27c. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scripture that Jesus was the Christ. What's interesting about this is if you look back at Acts 18:4, we read this, and Paul reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and tried to persuade the Jews and the Greeks. And Apollos powerfully refuted them and showed them the gospel, all because Priscilla and Aquila, as everyday catalysts, invested in the life of Apollos as an everyday catalyst. And you would go on to see that Paul would even note that he was a fellow servant and one of God's workers. He would say, listen, I want everyone to receive a commendation from God, and I've applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit. And in 1 Corinthians 16:12, he says, concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to visit you with other brothers, but it was not at all his will. Some other manuscripts say that it wasn't God's will for him to come now. He will come when he has the opportunity. He writes to Titus, do your best to speed Zenias the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. It's because Apollos was an everyday catalyst that spurred the Apostle Paul on to share the gospel, and you and I are here today because of that. I'm grateful for our everyday catalyst, Don Herwire. Don and his wife Kathy have been attending New Hope since 1986. I want to say 96. But there was a 5-year period that they were in North Carolina. And Don has been involved with men's ministry and property council and being a Sunday school teacher and going to China and food shelf. And he's served as a life group facilitator, and he's on our life group core team and one of our coaches. And Don came to faith growing up in a pastor's family at the age of 45 when his wife bought him a ticket to go to Promise Keepers with the church. And as he said to me, PDM, it's why I was sitting there in the stadium and hearing Greg Laurie speak about Christ that I realized that I had a head knowledge, but not a heart knowledge. And I gave my life to Jesus, and it transformed me. And Don said to me, I would really like to see other guys grow in their faith beyond attending church or Bible study. To challenge all of us, and men in particular, to walk their faith out with God. It starts there, because you can't give away what you don't have. To start where you're at, like Apollos, and by taking small steps, use what God is teaching you in the service of others. The other day, Don came to our core team meeting, And he was sharing about going out and sharing his gospel with Lauren Burkett and Don Saylor in a thing called Time to Revive. And this dude's looking, he's looking at me, PDM. It's the most, and I agree with him, it is the most incredible thing to see a person come to faith in Christ. To watch God transform somebody's life is so incredible. And guys, I'm praying that an everyday catalyst in Grand Forks, North Dakota, by the mercies of God, talk to my brother. And some of you have family members in the same situation. But can we be real? Stop for a moment. Think about this. We're wanting this for our loved ones. And we don't know that Tanya and Bobby are living in Sacramento, making them up. But they have a niece or a son or a daughter who's living in New Hope. And they're praying, God, would you please send someone into their life? Send a coworker. Send a neighbor. And out there, you know who they're praying about? Us. That we would be everyday catalysts. How many of you? Hands, have ever prayed for a loved one or a friend, a coworker, or anything that God would send somebody into their life to transform them? It's okay, no shame in the game. If I have to hold my hand up, I'm all cool by myself. Okay. And there's other people in other places of this country and world that are praying for people that are around us and saying, would you help them move towards Jesus and take my loved one with them? So five things, five takeaways. Learn, exercise, grow, serve, and share. Learn the word of God and your gifts. Learn the word of God. Remember, you already have Facebook. Put your face in this book and percolate. You can even get on Facebook with a cup of coffee. Look at that. If you're wondering about your gifts this fall, there'll be a Live on Purpose class to help you discover your gifts, personality, leadership style. Exercise your faith currently with where you are and what you know. Just walk in that. Grow your understanding. Notice as Apollos, he walked and exercised his faith. God brought Priscilla and Aquila into his life. And I'm a living testimony of the number of people that God has brought into my life. And that in itself makes you just praise God in his mercy and his grace and his gifts the way that he does that. Serve your community. You have a community and a church family and people outside these four walls. When this service is done, guess what? The church has left the building because the church is people and not just a place. And then share your story of your Savior. Close your eyes right now as we go to prayer. Apollos went as an everyday catalyst in what he knew. My question is, will you? What are the areas that the Lord is wanting you to grow and calling you to be an everyday catalyst today? Because I can tell you that if I was preaching this last Sunday, that one of you would be the answer of 35 plus years of prayer. Wouldn't be enough time, enough energy to say thank you. So I'm trusting God. And I'm asking all of us to go by his grace, in his strength, for his glory, be an everyday catalyst. In Jesus' name, amen.